Empower Radio presents The Miracle of Healing with Lisa Campion. Meet healers, learn different modalities, and hear empowering stories of people on their healing journey. The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Lisa Campion.
Hi, I'm Lisa Campion, and this is The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio, where conscious people come together to explore the world of healing and heal the planet one person at a time. Today we have a really fun guest, Daryl Grant. And Daryl is a self-taught astrologer. He's been doing it for a while, and he speaks in practical astrological terms. Has a really unique way of combining astrological life cycles with natal chart energies. And he's worked as an astrologer with celebrities, authors, and business entrepreneurs. He's also well known as a video director for music videos and documentaries. And his documentaries have appeared in video festivals and internet publications all over the place. So excited. We're going to do something kind of crazy tonight. Daryl's going to read my chart right now, which is, I think, really going to be fun. So welcome, Daryl. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Lisa. Thank you for having me on. It's a privilege.
So what are we doing tonight? I know we had talked about an aspect of the stars that it's kind of interesting to you. You want to tell us a little bit about it and how, and a little bit about your take on astrology, your personal take on it?
Sure. I think there is a little bit of a new version of astrology that's coming together. And I have to credit author Liz Green, who takes this Carl Jung approach towards astrology. It's more of self-realization in astrology rather than predictions or capability of signs, which sign is kind of in like love match, that sort of thing, which it's possible to do, but I'm not too crazy for it. I'm more in the lines of self-realization, or like, for instance, obviously everybody's different and everybody has good and bad qualities about them. But apparently, I think what's really important is if somebody wanted to get into astrology, that they pick a good astrologer who kind of shows them where their planets are in the chart. And I think that brings a little bit more disclosure, and it kind of flushes out a person's personality a bit.
So you're really talking about it as like a personal growth tool? You know, right. It's like, you know, old school, like what I think of astrology is like you look in the newspaper and you like, it's going to be a good day or a bad day. Or like you said, the love matches, like what sign goes with what. That's kind of old, you know, old school stuff. And what you're talking about seems much more interesting to me too, where we're using the natal chart in this case, or the transits, yeah, to understand the evolution of our souls, or the evolution of our personalities here.
Right, and also, like for instance, if you use this as an example, you could turn around and you could see my chart. You could punch in my mother's death date, and you could actually see how the transits were at the time of her death, and you could actually see through that there was some type of the event that would, like you just said, kind of evolutionize me to be who I am today. And I think that, you know, there's sometimes people have in their natal charts formations of patterns that they could actually look and they could actually see different formations. And if an astrologer is really good, they could actually describe those formations, and for instance, like somebody like Billy Joel, you know, you could see that he has like this triangle, it's called a trin, and it actually describes his music capabilities. And, you can do that with several different celebrity charts online. And you can see their charts and you can see their talents within planet formations. And I also wanted to say, I wouldn't say love capabilities old school. I just find it word to the wise, kind of, I don't know, it's kind of funny because, like, for instance, Capricorns and Cancers, they're sister planets. They're totally two opposites, Cancers and Capricorns. Now, for instance, if somebody was to say to me, my mate is either one of them, would I find good love capability or, future in it, in them? It would be really wrong for me to say yes or no, because apparently in astrology, they go by three things. They go by your natal sun, your moon, and your ascendant. So you have three different types of elements in your chart that make your personality. So it would be kind of strange. I never quite understood it. If, for instance, if I felt in love with a Cancer woman and it's a water sign and maybe she had more earth, which is Capricorn, maybe I would get along with them perfectly fine. I never really understood that, but either way.
Well, it's really complicated. So, I mean, astrology is so much more than what your sun sign is, right? There's like a whole, that's like only the top level. And there's a lot more layers to people's natal charts than just the sun sign.
Exactly.
But let's talk about Pluto, because you have an interest in Pluto. I kind of have this weird interest in Pluto. I feel a little bad for Pluto for having been demoted from a planet recently. But, I have heard that Pluto is sort of causing a lot of problems and, wreaking sort of havoc in the world right now, and creating a lot of uncomfortability. And I have Pluto in a really prominent place in my chart. So every astrologer who's ever looked at my chart's like, oh my God, you have Pluto on the ascendant. Like, it's this crazy, wild thing. And I don't know what it means. I don't know what it means. And I'm curious about it. So I know you have a thing about Pluto. I have a thing about Pluto. Let's talk about Pluto.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm sure. Pluto on your ascendant would be different to somebody else. So it's a symbol of birth and death, metaphorically, and it could be physically as well. But it could mean different things to, different signs. And no astrologer could actually pinpoint what would actually happen to you, but it will, from what they see when Pluto peaks at your ascendant, they could get a good feel of what the forecast would be by other transits that happen when Pluto is working on your ascendant. So, for instance, if you're the Queen of England, which this is true, has a 21 degree Capricorn and she's like 85 years old and it hasn't peaked yet, it's a little bit, you have a tendency to wonder. But if you're,
so what you're saying, what you're saying is that might be the sign that she could pass away.
She could, or if there's some crazy feeling that she has of giving up the throne, that would be it too. And she doesn't necessarily mean that she's going to pass, she's going to pass away. But there is a big, no matter how you look at it, there's this big transformation of the individual. They just totally turn. And if you look at it this way, if you look at the whole picture, Pluto goes around the chart. It goes around all the signs 246 years. So America is going to have what's called a Pluto return within 2023, which then the natal Pluto will conjunct with transiting Pluto, and they will go together. Now, whether or not some astrologers, and people will hear about this, that there'll be this hysteria of a Pluto return, just as much as there was with the 2012 with the Mayan calendar, that the Pluto return will destroy America. And that's totally ridiculous, because people, astrologers are talking about that. But then if you look at the positive side, in 2023, you might just have a woman president, and you just might have this incredible surge of transformation in the country, which I'm leaning towards. I think that will happen.
So Pluto, is Pluto the energy of transformation? Like you said, life and death. So just change in general, like transformation.
Yeah, it's almost like the Tasmanian devil. When he comes in, he turns everything upside down, and when he leaves, it's kind of turned upside down for your benefit, for your path. And it turns out I've interviewed people, because apparently I have a big transit. I'm meeting Pluto within when I'm 52 or 51, and I interviewed many Capricorns who had their transformation with Pluto already, and apparently they all say the same thing, and they all did not know each other, and they all said that it was rough in the beginning, but towards the end it was for the better. And I found that author Robert Hand wrote about it, and it's so true. Liz Green wrote about it, and it's true. You know, those aspects are true. What is the coincidence of you having Pluto on your ascendant, especially when it just goes around the chart every 247 years? There's an incredible meaning behind it being on your ascendant.
And what is the ascendant? I mean, I know my ascendant is Capricorn, right? But what does it mean in your chart, your ascendant? It's the star that's like right on your horizon, right on the horizon when you're born?
Right. So that's right. This is exactly right. So when you were born, the year that you were born, the date that you were born, from the east, Capricorn was coming up. It was coming up from the horizon. So, exactly right.
And so what is... that mean, like, if you're, you know, if you're reading my chart, Pluto on the ascendant means what?
Well, it's a sense. What it is, it's they call it it's almost like the persona that you give the public. It's like that you're you have a radio show. You do you're very busy with your clients. And you have you're a hard worker, right? So that's very Capricorn. That's a very Capricornish thing. Your midhaven is in Scorpio. So it's in Scorpio because and that gives you your psychic ability. And that gives you, because these Scorpions are very intuitive. And they're very much, quote unquote, the underworld. They could see things and research things and do things that are very, very, they have a very strong interest in the underworld. Right. Not only that, Lisa, but apparently, if you look at it this way, and I hope this doesn't confuse you, it can get confusing, but like, for instance, Aries owns the first house. So if you landed on the first house, you would have a little touch of Aries, a little fire to you. But you wound up also you also wound up in the eighth house, which is owned by Scorpio. So you have a little touch of Scorpio in the eighth house. And you have a touch of Scorpio in the ninth house, which is right on your midhaven. It gives you your psychic ability.
So I think it's so interesting too, because like, you know, you sent me a copy of my chart and I'm looking it over, and I know that really there's sort of these two aspects that astrologers look at, which is the natal chart. So that's where the stars are, what positions they're in on the day, the time that you're born, in the place that you're born. And that sort of sets your character, or like the person that you are. And then the transits, which is what's happening right now today, is, you know, where you are in your life right now, based on your character doesn't change, but the influences around us change, and what we go changes. And that astrology can really look at both of these things, right?
Right. Also your moon too, where your moon is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
So when this Pluto really hits, then I can expect a lot of change. And do we have any way to say what kind of change it might be? Because, well, I hope it's not going to be like the Queen.
No, because it affects different signs in different ways. If I'm correct, I think the Queen's a Sag. But and the thing is that what I did was I looked at your transits before and after Pluto peaks on your ascendant, and it's pretty eventful even after it peaks, and it eventful in the sense to say there was no what we call squares, like negative aspects, but there was more positive aspects after it leaves your ascendant. And even like today, I was looking at it again, and I found that Uranus is going to work with your Saturn over the summer. And, you know, I don't know if you got any sideline projects, but that's an indication of your consciousness working hard at some type of project that's going to come out, or something of the sort. And so I'm not pessimistic at all. You know, especially personally, knowing the fact that Pluto will hit my natal sun, I did all this research. I was like Captain Ahab, looking for this great white whale called Pluto to see how it affected different people. And they all told me the same, that, and people lived. And, you know, they said it was a little bit rough, but towards the end, it was perfectly fine.
Mm-hmm. So do you think it's like maybe like a deep transformation that kind of like through the eye of the needle, like it's a tough change, but kind of a soulful one, and gets you where you need to be on the other side of it?
Right. Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And but what I find liberating is that you see the process. For somebody like yourself, you see the process happening. You could time it, you know, and you could see that, you know, you actually get a feel. And they actually, the astrologers have a thing where they say it actually, the transit actually works, the time frame actually works 2 degrees before it peaks. And you could actually get a feel of and get a glimpse of what's going to actually happen. And but I think what's really mostly important is not necessarily the daily transits. I think the meat and potatoes of astrology is what you're born with, where you're born with, and because then you can see yourself in that reflection of the chart rather being worried or. Because apparently I went through 2 or 3 astrologers, and they told me at this time in my life, because Pluto was on my natal Mercury, that I was going to work in communications, and I was going to thrive into some type of communications, which I had 2 astrologers tell me that like 2 or 3 years ago, and said it never happened. But what happened was the total reverse, because nobody really took they never took consideration that I had a Mercury retrograde as a natal my natal planet. So the total opposite happened with the isolation. I lost a lot of friends, and that's okay, but I saw the process happen. Now, when you see the process happen, you know that there's a reward towards the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I really got interested in astrology like many, many years ago because as a psychic, I would notice that all my friends would come in, all my clients would come in with sort of the same kind of group of problems. I'm like, wow, what is it in the water? Like everyone's having the same kind of issues during this time. And I mentioned it to one of my friends, who's a really excellent astrologer. And she said, oh my God, Lisa, that's because, you know, the moon's in trine with Venus. And I was like, I have no idea what that meant, but she explained it. And it fit perfectly what I was seeing in everybody. And so I began to kind of study the transits, you know, like what's going on in the world. I find it extremely comforting for myself to know if I'm feeling something, is it me and my own personal neurosis, or am I just tapping into the general energy of the world? And I find that I orient myself around that a little bit. Like I know right now we have four planets in retrograde, and it's so funny because I'm editing. I know when the planets are in retrograde, it's really hard to move, like start new things, but it's an excellent time to go back over old things. Like especially Mercury's written retrograde right now, and I'm editing my book, and it's really good it feels really good to edit. I really like doing it, and I'm having a little trouble starting new things. But because I know that, I'm like, well, that makes sense that I'm enjoying editing, and I'm working over old ground again and again because all this retrograde energy is present. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, totally, yeah. But, it does make good sense. Makes perfect sense, but I think, like for instance, if I could use this as an example, I could compare, which is perfectly fine. For you, maybe it will get published next year, and that's your Pluto going over your ascendant, and you'll find out that it's probably become more successful than you could ever imagine. And Pluto going over my Mercury was transformation of communication, and eventually it's gonna conjunct to my Venus and Sun within 4 years. But there is a reason behind these times, and to see that, to know that, is more important than an astrologer to predict what's going to happen. Because like I said, nobody's perfect, and I really don't kind of sway from predictions. It's very, really, really hard to predict when something is going to go right or something's going to go wrong. It's more of knowing the time and the forecast.
And if people were just about out of time, sadly, because this is so fun, but if people wanted to reach you or have their chart done by you, how do people reach you?
If you can reach me on Facebook, I'm Daryl Grant, or Daryl Lore Grant, and or on Twitter is Mr. MRDARYLGRANT, and it's the same spelling for email on Yahoo as well. MRDARYLGRANT at Yahoo, and that's my email.
Okay, good. So are you available to do charts for people if they're interested?
Absolutely. But I think I'm really a promoter of people to find their own. I mean, I could help, but to find, everybody should be an astrologer, and everybody should find their natal chart and see where their natal sun is and their Venus and their Mars. And it's a spectacular thing. It's very poetic. And that's something to grasp on.
That's cool. Gosh, well, thank you so much for joining us today on the show. It was really fun. And I want to have you come back sometime, and let's do something like the chart of the United States. So
sure.
So everyone can kind of join in the fun. And that's great. I appreciate you being here today with me, Daryl.
Thank you, Lisa. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you. Sure thing, honey. Thank you. And I appreciate all of you guys out there in Empower Radio Land, all of you guys that are listening. I thank you so much for being here with us today and hope you run right out and get your chart done because it's so cool. So if you'd like to reach me, please find me at my website, lisacampion.com. And thanks again for being here on Empower Radio.